Okay, are we ready? No, we're doing a whole show. You ready for it?
Bring it, motherfucker.
The following program contains explicit language and is intended for a mature audience only.
Put the fire out, Bernie.
Don't sigh.
We're going to have a short installment of The Sound this week because I've had just about enough of these two. But let's go ahead and get right into it. Our main crux, the meat and potatoes of the main segment this week is going to be... Oh, you know, let's get plus minus out of the way real quick. Plus, my girlfriend's here. Minus, she leaves on Wednesday. I guess that's all I can really think of. Oh, plus, I have a job interview tomorrow.
That's awesome.
In Pleasanton. Working for like a digital sign media selling company, whatever thing. It's
not that far away.
It's complicated cool. And it's close. So yeah. I'm interested. Hopefully I get this because it would be good for me.
Otherwise that'll be your minus for next week.
Good point. Anything?
Plus I actually had a pretty good week. Minus the weekend is over and I'm starting to get a little tired. It's probably why I'm acting kind of retarded.
Plus minus?
Plus I'm on vacation. Fucked up because I ain't driving anywhere.
Good point.
Minus I leave home on Wednesday and I have to go back to work and back to the daily grind.
I like how you're calling this home.
So let's see.
What was that? Freudian slip.
It's hello, Freud.
Oh, that's right.
All right, let's see. Our main the meat of the show today is going to be top five sad movies that made you cry. And this can be from any time in your life. It doesn't have to be a kid's kind of thing. It just spans the gamut. I'm going to start. Go ahead and start here. Now these are not going to be from one to five. You know what I mean? In any particular order, just five films.
No, good. I'm glad you're saying that because I was like, wow, I'm not sure how to order these.
Yeah, I didn't even try to quantitize them because I was like,
they all make you cry. So
sad,
right,
but for different reasons.
Isn't that enough?
Yeah. So I'm going to go ahead and say that I'm going to go ahead and give an honorable mention to Plague Dogs. You know Plague Dogs?
Oh, yeah.
I told you about Plague Dogs while we were out eating.
I didn't see it. He told me about it, and I nearly started crying from that.
By the guy, the same guy who wrote, Robert Adams, who wrote Watership Down?
Yeah. Very, very fucking sad. Like, ridiculously, like, depressing, sad
film.
You
told Demise not to see this film because of that. Because
she's way into, like, animals.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, don't watch this. Yeah. It'll destroy you. Okay, so let's see. Going into our five here, we've got... Children of Men. Children of Men, the scene where Kiki or whatever her name is comes out of the building holding her baby and the soldiers are all fighting with the insurgents.
It's like a crazy fucking war going on.
And everybody stops exactly like in the middle of this fighting, they stop, like soldiers holding their guns and everyone is aghast at, like I've said so many times before on the show, the majesty of God's creation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's powerful. It's a very powerful scene. And it got me a little misty, I'm gonna say.
I'm getting not a little misty now. Actually.
Not necessarily sad, but just like thinking about like the wonderment and the majesty of it all. Really, it's like, you know, it's definitely something to behold.
Well, so he paused it on a very potent moment.
He did, it really did.
That's art.
And then the scene where like the old woman kind of takes the baby and holds it for a second, kind of smiling, is just like, I remember these things. You know, that too was pretty interesting.
And you could almost feel the profound sense of loss.
Yeah, definitely. So let's hear a run. Do you have any runners up?
Runners up? I would say Watership Down. I'd go with that because it is a very melancholy and kind of sad film.
Right.
The Secret of Nim kind of had the same effect on me too.
Is that your number five?
No, that's not my number five. I'm just saying those two as runner up is weird because they're, you know, both animated films and it's like, kind of a sense of melancholy, very sad films involving animals. And it's like, yeah.
All right. You know. So let's get your number five.
It's probably a film you've never heard of. You ever heard of a movie called Jet Boy?
No.
Have you?
Jet Boy and Jet Girl? No.
No, it's funny. I know that's what was so eerie about that conversation earlier. No, this is a Canadian film that has Dylan Walsh, who was in Congo. And it was funny because I'm watching the film. It was recommended to me. And I'm like, wait, I remember him. And I was like, oh, yeah, Congo. Anyway, it's a Canadian film about this kid who is basically selling his body because his mom forces him essentially into prostitution.
Oh,
and
all
he,
right.
Yeah, he gets he she dies and he's on the lam and he hooks up with who he thinks is a drug dealer. And there's this kind of like relationship that's forming there. And there's a scene where he's basically coming onto this guy because he thinks he's going to lose him.
Right.
And it's just kind of heartbreaking because it's like, no, you're missing the point. You've had such a fucked up life. You don't know how to relate to people anymore. And it was just really, it really got to me. And it was one of those things where it didn't get to me right away, but like the next day I was thinking about it, I was like, wow. And I was just kind of, you know, it made me cry. I was like, this is really fucked up. And it was something that I could only see Canada doing.
Yeah, I guess so.
And not something that would be done very well here because it did have a kind of a quiche ending, but otherwise it was
quiche, as in it was like eggs and cheese baked into a pastry crust?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, interesting. All right. It's
extra cheesy.
Do you have a number five for us?
I guess radio. That was kind of sad. You know, retard. Yeah, I'm going to use the political
term. I like how you drew it out. Retard.
Political term, retard. No, it was sad.
The Cuba Gooding Jr. film, retard. Radio.
Oh, wow. You said it too, not just me.
Okay, so Cuba Gooding Jr. film, Radio.
Yeah.
Where he plays what? He's like a Riri that works at a college. And
yeah, and it's like everybody's fucking mean to him, and Ed Harris gives him a chance, and it's just really sad. Like, fuck, man, things used to be hard. And, you know, poor guy. Like, that's
it's hard
tough.
Around here for a re.
Okay.
No, don't cheapen it. It was sad. It
no, I remember
sucked,
seeing the trailer.
Yeah.
I didn't watch it because it.
But like, there was parts where I was like, legitimately, like, teary-eyed, like, this sucks. This
was it like,
fair.
Where's the tissue? God damn it.
Okay. Yeah. Let's see.
Number four,
Rats of Nim. The scene where, that's why I didn't want you to talk too much about it, because like, we're going to get to it later.
Yeah.
Rats of Nim. The scene where, I forget her name, the female rat, and she's in the cage. And she
Frisbee.
Mrs. Frisbee. Was that
Frisbee.
The one?
The book is called Mrs. Frisbee and the Rats of Nim.
Right. She cuts her
it's
arm.
It's the secret of Nim, by the way.
Whatever. She cuts her arm and dips it in the water bowl to like, you know, to like wash the blood away or whatever. Like, yeah, I won't. I'm not going to try to like sugarcoat it. The reason I don't hate animals, but the reason everybody thinks I hate animals and I don't watch animal movies.
Well, she's not a horse, so.
Well, it doesn't matter. It just, I don't watch animal movies because sad animal movies make me openly weep. I can't protect myself from it. It really just fucking hurts in a deep, deep psychological level. I can't stand seeing animals suffer. Like, I just can't stand it. So I just don't watch those kind of movies because it's just like, I don't want that to happen.
But the truth is revealed.
And you only hear this kind of stuff on the sound. So if you're not subscribed,
no,
I
can understand
you're not missing
that too.
Anything because you don't know what I'm saying right now, but still.
I think you could understand, you know, the same thing is with like kids. If animals or kids are hurt, it's like, whoo.
It's tough.
Yeah.
Kids, not so much. Animals, though? It's a bummer. Okay.
Wait, does it go back to me?
Number four?
Number four, E.T.
E.T. I never did, but I can see. I can see.
Well, I had an older friend who was like 13. I saw this when I was, I think, 9, and he was like 13. He was like, I didn't cry when I saw E.T., and I basically turned to him and said, well, then you have no heart.
You sure have no soul.
It did. It got to me. And when I took a younger friend to see it like years later because he had never seen it. And it was, remember when it was back in the screens a couple years ago?
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, I love Gertie. And it's got, you know, Drew Barrymore as Gertie. And there's so much fun and liveliness in the show, in the movie. And then, you know, the E.T. dies and,
yeah.
You know, and he was like, oh, that's kind of messed up. And I was like, yeah. So it's kind of like, it's like reliving it a little bit.
Right.
Even though it's been a long time, you know, since it originally came out.
Hmm. Number four?
I guess The Notebook, just because the whole. I know it's super cheesy.
You just liked Ryan Gosling. You were like, no. Oh my god, Ryan Gosling with no shirt.
Yeah, no, because I'm a girl, so I'm allowed to be able to cry The Notebook.
Sappy loving you.
Well, yeah, sappy. No, but the main reason is the mom, the significant other. I'm like, I can really relate to that, and it's like,
I like
that's hard.
When
you know?
I saw that movie, the turnaround where the reveal on the mother, that was a pretty good scene.
Yeah, so it's. It's relatable to me. I mean, like, fuck, that's really hard. Like, that's not fair. Like,
dude, you watched The Notebook?
Yeah, I saw The Notebook.
Wow.
Did I just lose a video game credit?
You just lost a point. Let's see. Number three, Charlotte's Web. Don't really need to explain.
Yours is all animated.
The good amount of them are animated, and a good amount of them are about animals. Yeah,
there's a good fucking reason.
Charlotte's Web,
is on
though,
this
like
list.
Yeah, like near the end when she's like talking to what's her name, the little girl's name. what doesn't matter. And like she's kind of, she's like really old now, and she's like, you know, like she dies, and then the baby
she goes away.
Yeah,
she goes away. Quote unquote
goes away. And then all the babies are born, and they let out the web and fly away too. It's just like, oh god.
Yeah, it's like, wait a minute, no, you're leaving. We don't even have someone to stay behind. It's like,
and Wilbur's like devastated. Like, fuck, there's no
that baby. Fucking pig, and like say the whole like sense of impending doom about him about to be like, you know, get butchered or whatever. And it's just like, you know, seriously, the whole movie is such a fucking bummer.
He's not getting butchered though.
Okay, so number three.
I'm gonna go with WALL-E. And hold on. There's two reasons why. Because I almost lumped it together with E.T.
Okay.
Because the ending is definitely an E.T. ending. Okay. But earlier in the film, I think I'd said this before. It made me cry just because the artistry behind the you know, even if you don't like the message, just ignoring that and watching the film, it is very beautiful and very well put together. And I was like, oh my god, I'm getting caught up in just the art that's going on here, and it kind of made me cry.
Bleh.
Good stuff.
Okay, number three,
Men of Honor. Yeah, kind of unexpected.
The Cuba Gooding Jr. film, Men of Honor. That's with.
I'm noticing themes between you two.
That's with Robert De Niro or yeah, Dustin
Robert
Hoffman.
Robert De Niro, okay. Cuba Gooding Jr. Another kind of like racially like you know tapped movie, and I guess I'm really like that's fucked up. Why are they treating him so bad? Just because he's black, that's fucked up.
Submarine film.
Yeah, he's a diver.
He wants to be a diver. And that was like before they had any like, you know, interracial drivers. They were all white and he was the first black person and, you know, and they call him Cookie. And I'm like, that's not right. Especially because I had an uncle who wanted to join the Navy and he had to deal with a lot of like, you know, racial shit because he was Mexican. And so I can relate to it on that. And I'm like, that's fucked up, man. Because especially because when I was in kindergarten, I used to really want to join the Navy. And I was like, and then I grew up. I'm like, that's stupid.
You wanted to grow up to be a junior?
No, I didn't want to grow up to be a junior.
Because that would be awesome. That's
I grew
a dream
up and I wanted to join
for.
The Navy. And then
I'm
going to
go ahead and say that wouldn't have been awesome.
Oh, not for you.
No. Okay, number...
But it was sad. And it was fucked up. And then, you know, I cried.
Sure, yes.
And I'm sure De Niro really came off as a prick.
It was a good
role.
Movie. Like, I was like, how is this not nominated
okay,
for an Oscar
okay,
that
okay,
year?
Okay, okay. I'm reigning in the insanity here. I'm reigning the insanity in. Okay.
It should have been nominated for an Oscar.
Number two, I'm going to go with Fantastic Voyage. And it's the story of a dog and a... is it a dog and a cat or two dogs?
It's
I don't even remember. I was so young when I saw it. I just remember
it's two dogs and a cat. And isn't this the one with Michael J. Fox as the voice?
I think the original Fantastic Voyage. Yeah, fuck that goddamn movie was so like depressing. It just I don't even want to talk about it. What's
wow.
your number three?
Are we on number two or three?
Number two.
Two. I'm gonna go with Saving Private Ryan.
Mm. Okay.
And there's one particular scene where. You're seeing all these people walking by, and they've got all these dog tags, and they're just kind of using them as like poker chips. And the doctor comes up, the medic comes up to him and says, "These were human beings." And it was just like, didn't expect that to come, you know, to come out. And it was just like, just really heart wrenching scene. And then as the story progresses, all this stuff is going on just to save this one person. You kind of realize just the, you know, the kind of the epic quality, but also the very simpleness of the film.
Right.
And it was, and that opening sequence is just so fucking brutal.
Yeah.
You know, you just kind of...
That movie is definitely separated into two separate halves.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
like,
yeah.
The first half of the film is definitely one feel, and then it changes, like, drastically in the second half.
And there's also, right at the beginning, this guy, a bullet bounces off his helmet, and they're like, look, you're wearing a helmet, and then all of a sudden he gets shot again, and
he
it was
takes the
like,
helmet off and looks at where it got shot, where it bounced off.
They were like, ha, ha, ha.
Wow, thank God. And pff, he gets shot in the head and dies right there.
And actually, along with that, there's another part where one guy, was that Tom Hanks grabs a guy and drags him and doesn't realize that he's lost half his body.
Yeah, he looks back.
He doesn't know that he's dead.
Yeah,
he looks back and realizes there's only half of him there.
Yeah,
and then the scene where the guy was walking around holding his arm.
Oh, and he was just in a daze.
In a daze.
Oh,
yeah.
Man. It's just.
I will say this. I remember when that movie opened, they had special like free screenings for vets, and like tons of them would like leave the theater like in hysterics because it was so realistic and so like accurate.
Well, and it's so long.
Well, I'm just talking about in the first 15 minutes.
No, that's what I'm talking about. That 15 minutes feels like a lifetime. It's just so brutal and potent.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so.
That would be.
It's on you.
My number two is Lord of the Flies.
Which one? Which one?
The remake with Piggy. When Piggy dies, I go into hysterics. I can't stand it. Piggy, just the thought of Piggy makes me really upset. Fuck. I can barely talk about it. But like when They fucking kill Piggy. I want to cry. I go into hysterics. It makes my cousin laugh. I can't stand
Have
it.
Have you read the book?
Oh, yeah.
Is Piggy the only one that survives in the book? Or is it the same as the film where he dies?
He's the only one who dies.
Yeah, he dies in the film.
I could have sworn I remembered reading the end of that or another book.
Actually, I take that back. There's also the adult who dies. An adult and there's Piggy.
Right.
Piggy gets a rock bounced off. You liked it because of Balthazar Getty.
Balthazar Getty?
I don't even know who that is.
I don't know. To be honest, people, I was in sophomore in high school. I half read it and copied off my friends. But I remember watching the movie and I remember half reading it in high school and I was like, fucking Piggy. And then I saw the movie and I was like, fuck no, they can't kill him. And so every time I see it and I see the movie and I just see the kid that plays Piggy and I start to cry because I know what's going to happen. And
the original black and white is a bit more authentic.
I've seen the black and white gritty. Once or twice, and even with the color version I still cry about Piggy. It makes me really upset because I guess I can relate to him because he's the only one that has logic and he's really trying to help these kids and they fucking kill him. It's fucked up, people. It's not nice.
Okay.
Leave the fat kids alone.
So let's see. Yeah. We're moving into number one here. Let's see. My number one, let's see if we can't get some fanfare going here. My number one is Rudy. Rudy was so
for the same reason that she had radio, I bet.
Basically, yeah. But let's be honest. Rudy is authentic.
Samwise.
The original.
Radio was a real person too.
Well, whatever. It came way later, and it was stupid.
and kicked him, people.
Yeah. So Rudy, a great fucking film. Very, very it's a story of inspiration. You'll watch that film, and if you're prone to crying, you will cry from the sadness of it. You'll cry from the inspirational. You go, Rudy. It's very, very touching of a film. And yeah, that's my number one. I wanted to do this just so people would know that I'm not a total and complete unfeeling monster after the whole controversy of me hating horses or whatever.
And Angelina Jolie.
What about the whole story?
Angelina Jolie is a dumb cunt, and I stick to that.
That's fine. But what about the girl that rejected Rudy? We should talk about that.
Oh, there's another podcast called The Mediocre Show, and one of their episodes they were talking about a girl that went to that high school or whatever. Was it college?
Yeah, it was college.
We went to that college, whatever. I don't know. I haven't seen the movie since I was a kid.
Woo, Notre Dame. Fighting Irish.
And
this one's for the Gipper.
Jesus Christ. Okay. And she got hit on by Rudy and asked out on a date, and she turned down Rudy.
How sad is that? Rejecting Rudy.
How do you reject Rudy?
That's sad. That's fucked up.
Even if it's you do it for the story, if nothing else.
No, that's sad.
Oh, that's fucked up more. Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Exploit the Riri.
If a Riri asked me out, I don't know what.
No, I like how that starts. If a Riri asked me out,
I don't know how I would respond to that. That's
okay. So let's go. I'm gonna have
she
to...
lost fucking it. Wow.
Okay. So DZ, your number one.
Schindler's List.
Oh yeah, yeah. Schindler's List is a great film.
I saw this in theaters, and it was kind of during this cultural, experience month that my friend and I were doing. We went to the Museum of Tolerance. We went to a Buddhist temple, and then we saw Schindler's List. It was around that time, and we were overwhelmed. We didn't know what to expect. It was just fucking just hard driving, and the scene. I remember seeing it years later, and I was just fucking bawling even more the second time around because you're kind of getting a bit more of the nuances. And it's one of those films. I every time I see it on a shelf, I'm like, no, I don't even want to touch it because it just fucks me up every time I see it. I'm just blubbering.
Right.
But the scene that really drives it home is when Liam Neeson takes the pin off, the Nazi pin, and he says, "I could have saved more Jews." Mm-hmm. I could have saved more, and it was no, you've done so much,
right?
And it was and really just powerful movie,
right. Huh. I'll kind of agree. Steven Spielberg is a Zionist. So let's see here. M13. Well, why am I even fucking trying anymore?
Why are you
they say her name on OTC all the time. Fucking jerks.
Fuck those guys.
Let's see your number one.
Cinderella.
My number one is, I don't know if it can technically count, it's the Disney short animation of The Ugly Duckling. As soon as it starts, I'm already crying because how can the other ducklings and even inanimate objects. A wooden duck is mean to this poor baby swan, and it makes me cry. It's fucked up. I start bawling immediately, and I'm like, fuck, how can everything, including nature, including inanimate objects, be mean to this poor baby swan? And I guess I can relate. I don't know. It's fucked up. And then finally, it finds family, and it finds mom, and it's relatable. And it's like, yes, that's where you belong.
Hello, Freud.
I can barely talk about it without, like,
okay, so we're done with movie stuff now.
Let me just add something in here. I haven't seen the film version of it, but do you remember the book Where the Red Fern Grows?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus Christ, yes.
Did you not fucking die at the end? It was just,
I didn't because I knew from the beginning what was going to happen. Someone told me about it or whatever, but I knew
it was
going to happen.
Well, fuck that guy for ruining it for you.
I'd already seen Old Yeller, though, so I don't think it would have affected me as much.
Yeah, someone ruined Old Yeller for me.
This was being... not that we were a bunch of re-rees, but in my sixth grade class, the teacher would read to us, and she would pick some really good books. And Where the Red Fern Grows, I remember just being like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
I don't know. In sixth grade, I read, like, Amy Tan books. That was kind of weird in sixth grade, I guess.
Okay. Rein it in. Come on, people. I'm the one with ADD here.
I was expecting Old Yeller on your list.
The rice cooker?
Let's see. We're going to go ahead and go into news stories now. Let's see. Keeping on the same track, abandoned baby found safe with dog. Buenos Aires, a newborn baby abandoned outdoors in winter by her 14-year-old mother, was found safe in a dog pen with a mother dog and her brood of puppies near the city of La Plata, Argentina. Argentine media reported on Friday. Farmer Fabio Anze found the naked baby girl on Thursday being kept warm among his dog China's puppies. La Nacion newspaper said. Anze called the police and the baby was taken to a hospital. Egidio Mila, director of the Melchor Romero Hospital, told television and newspaper reporters that the baby was just a few hours old when she was found and was in good health, although she had some bruises. Nighttime temperatures are chilly but not freezing in the southern hemisphere. Winter in the rural area of La Plata, 40 miles south of Buenos Aires. I don't really know where that is. No. I kind of know where Buenos Aires is, so I guess 40 miles south of that. So, you know, there you go. Police said they'd located the 14-year-old girl who gave birth to the baby outdoors during the night. It was not clear whether the mother left the baby in the dog's pen or whether the dog found the baby outdoors and carried it into with the rest of her puppies. I'm going to say that she probably did because animals really know the difference between a baby and like an adult like a, or like a grown person, you know?
Yeah, that's so sad.
That's sad, and I don't because she was so young having a baby. I can just imagine her being all freaked out.
Yeah,
and animals will do that. It's really strange, you know. Yeah, they can be very protective.
Dogs can adopt various animals that you don't think that they would adopt, like birds, cats.
But could you imagine being the guy going out to see your dog, and all of a sudden,
yeah, there's a baby girl.
You gave birth to a baby.
I know. Is this the second coming?
Okay, raising the bar a little bit here. Italian priest organizes beauty contest for nuns. Rome, an Italian priest and theologian said Sunday he's organizing an online beauty pageant to give them more visibility within the Catholic Church and to fight the stereotype that they are all old and dour.
They have hairy armpits.
The Miss Sister 2008 contest.
Miss Sister?
I know.
Oh my God.
Will start in September on a blog run by the Reverend Antonio Runghi and will give nuns from around the world a chance to showcase their work and their image. Nuns are a bit excluded and they're a bit marginalized in ecclesiastical life. This will be an occasion to make their contribution more visible, he says here. Again, this is really something that needs to not, I guess what they're doing here is like, you know, hey, check out the nuns. They're hot. You don't need to just mouthfuck little boys. You can check out the nuns.
Hey, maybe F13 needs to do another show about nunsploitation. Have you done that?
No, I haven't.
We haven't even done the first one yet.
We can bring attention to nuns.
We haven't done that. We haven't done exploitation. Oh, and by the way, bring that book over.
That Killer Nuns book. You know,
No. What are you talking about? The exploitation book.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That Alyssa bought for us.
Right, right.
You've totally lost all rights to that book.
Have I?
Give it to me. I'm going to read it.
You're selfish.
I'm selfish. You've had it for almost a year.
I do have a book called, I believe it's called Killer Nuns, and it's just a bunch of photographs of nuns throughout the years. And they show one with a shotgun, and there's another one where she's got boxing gloves on.
Well, it reminds me of like the
Scary Nuns. That's the name of the book.
This rugby tournament I went to, and we, like each team had to come dressed as a theme, and one of the teams dressed as like, you know, like a Catholic theme, and like half of them were priests with like, you know, fucking like lambs or like baby
They
dolls.
Were fucking lambs? Wow.
They were fucking lambs and like babies and like nuns dressed like all exploitative. awesome.
Were any of them dressed like altar boys with frosting all over their faces?
No.
There was a board game called Christians and Lions that came out in the 80s.
Oh, interesting. Wow. Okay, yeah. Moving from the lascivious to the straight up boring, teenage DNA sleuth exposes New York fish fraud. Up to a quarter of fish in stores and restaurants in New York City was mislabeled as a more expensive variety, according to samples collected by two U.S. teenagers and tested with modern genetic identification methods. In the worst cases, two samples of filleted fish sold as red snapper, caught mostly off the southeast United States and in the Caribbean, were instead the endangered Acacian redfish from the North Atlantic. We never expected these results, but people should get what they pay for, Kate Stockel said, told Reuters of the product, or project. The two classmates from New York's Trinity School collected and sent off 60 fish samples to the University of Guelph in Canada. Of 56 samples that could be identified by a four-year-old DNA technique, 14 were mislabeled. In all cases now, the fish was labeled as a more costly type, apparently ruling out simple chance. It was the first known student use of DNA barcoding technology in a public market. That's just amazing.
Those fucking New Yorkers.
Like, it's something you never really even thought of. This isn't just, you know, on the street, like, people selling fish markets. This is the fish markets, you know what I mean, that sell to, like, big restaurants and places right. that, you know, you eat at. Ooh. It's just ridiculous, you know what I mean?
What a shitty way to mark up your food. Yeah, especially seriously. When you're involving endangered species.
Well, I don't know about how that happened.
That might have been an accident. But I'll give some leeway on that, but if it's intentional, fucking douchebags.
Yeah. It's almost like that Matthew Broderick movie where the people think they're eating endangered species,
right.
And they're actually just eating fucking like...
With Marlon Brando?
Yeah, that one. Yeah. Let's see. Last news story this week. New porn channel lets Canadians strut their stuff. Toronto. Canadians who may have become tired of being passed over as porn stars.
Do they shave? I forget.
I don't know.
Let us know.
Have a new homegrown outlet to showcase their erotic talents. Federal regulators have granted Alberta-based Real Productions approval to launch a new digital pornography channel, which promises to serve up at least 50% domestic content. The Canadian Cable Radio Television and Telecommunications Commission approved the Category 2 pay service on Wednesday, allowing Northern Peaks... Okay, blah, 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 blah,
blah. Hey, Big Willie, check it out and let us know.
I think basically what this just is, it's a porn channel, and they're going to be letting local people, you know, local Canadians try out to make porn.
Let's go over the Canadian border and try out for porn.
So, Dez, Big Willie, we're going to need some stuff from you guys.
Yeah, we need some input. I really wonder what the audition... you know, strategy for porn is like, you know, do you just get your fuck on, you know, how does that work?
You make an amateur tape and then
and just send it in.
Yeah, mostly. Or they'll find you, they'll see you on the stream, be like, hey, have you ever thought about being in films?
So you need to wear tight pants when you go towards the porn district?
More than likely. All right, so that's about all the time we've got for this week. Short show this week because it's getting kind of late.
You are fucking bored.
It's getting kind of late and we got stuff to do. So this has been the Diabolical Sound.
Rehab?
Stuff. Rehab. What? I don't even know what you're talking about.
That's okay.
All right. Fair enough. So let's see. Is there anything coming up? Oh, yeah. The next, I believe either the next or the one of the next two Diabolical Sounds will be a collaboration with Outside the Cinema on kind of an overview of Godzilla. It's a segment so huge we couldn't put it on the regular show. Either that's going to happen or there might be something else. Okay, I don't know. I have to talk to the guys about it, but stuff's coming up, all right?
Whatever it is, it's way more exciting than me, so stay tuned.
Hey, we need to get like a big old OTC and Cinema Diabolica sandwich with M13 involved.
I don't know. She calls into their show and posts on their forum and has a link to their show on her blog, so I don't know.
That's because they've put a t-shirt together and we haven't.
What's that?
Because they've put a t-shirt together and actually are selling
it,
and we haven't.
Hey, buy Outside the Cinema t-shirts. They're awesome.
They are. I like
them.
And
you should buy them and wear them because they're awesome.
Where's our shirt, F?
Look at the RD&D department.
RD&D.
Research, Design, and Development.
I was thinking like retarded Dungeons and Dragons.
Okay. All right. Well, you're both fired.
Hey, if you want portraits and shit, I will paint them.
You guys are both fired, and you'll be hearing us next week. I'll have a whole new staff.
MoniqueLopez.net. Hug me.
MoniqueLopez.net. Check out her stuff. She does really fucking great work.
You've seen her doodles as F-13?
I try.
Definitely. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, we're about to run out of fucking outro music. So, goodbye.
Giggle Queen.